This is Generation Justice, a multiracial project that trains youth to harness the power of community through media narrative and critical consciousness. I'm Riazullah Alikuzai.
And I'm Barbara Ramirez. Tonight, we focus on how our community is building liberation and opportunity for all.
We'll hear from Demetrius Johnson, chair of the Albuquerque Freedom Council of the Red Nation, who will introduce us to the Red Deal and Indigenous liberation.
Then, we speak with Jorge Cortez, Mina Mace, Nightmare, and DJ Gravity, four youth performers who will share all about the 10th anniversary of Warehouse 508.
And don't miss our calendar announcements to keep you up to date.
Generation Justice would like to remind you that this program is broadcast on stolen indigenous land.
As always, our youth producer have chosen some excellent music for this program. To start us off, let's hear from our music host.
I'm Sunny Santanam, and I'll be your music host for tonight. Up first is Work Hard by Lindy Vision. This song was chosen for its originality. Lindy Vision is a group of three incredible Black Indigenous women. The group is currently touring around the area, and all of the music you'll hear tonight are created by local artists.
Did you come here to fight? Are you gonna win? Are you here to start or just begin? Are you gonna win it back or let it go? Is it free or freedom that you really know? Did you come here to fight? Are you gonna win? Are you here to start or just begin?
The Red Nation is a coalition of Native and non-Native activists, educators, students, and community organizers advocating Native liberation.
Demetrius Johnson is Dene from Tuxtlani, Arizona. He has been involved in Indigenous community organizing and movement building since 2014 and was elected chair for the Albuquerque Freedom Council of the Red Nation.
Now, Kateri Zuni speaks with Demetrius Johnson of the Red Nation to learn more about the Red Deal.
This is Kateri Zuni with Generation Justice, and right now I'm speaking with Demetrius Johnson, chair of the Albuquerque Freedom Council for the Red Nation. Demetrius, welcome to Generation Justice.
Thank you for having me.
Please share with me more about yourself and your work with the Red Nation.
So it was about a year and a half ago during our first General Assembly that I was elected as chair for the Albuquerque Freedom Council. I've actually been involved in the Red Nation since the end of 2014, so almost 5 years now. And the Red Nation has actually taught me a lot about organizing movements and also, like, more importantly, like how to be like a good Indigenous man.
Let's go ahead and have you just introduce us to what the Red Deal is.
So the Red Deal, it's actually a pretty brand new document. It came after AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, introduced the Green New Deal, and it actually failed. But coming out of that Green New Deal, like, as important as it is about with all the conversations it's bringing up, there's a lot of criticisms. And again, like, one of those criticisms is the lack of Indigenous peoples, Indigenous voices, and talking about, like, if you're talking about, like, climate change, if you're talking about environmental justice, if you're talking about just transition, you know, you leave out the people who are most affected by these things, and that's Indigenous peoples, people of color, and, like, marginalized people. So the Red Deal brings those people forward. We really are going to these communities and asking them how they feel about these things and including them in the Red Deal.
What are the symptoms and structures that the Red Deal is hoping to address?
I think the one thing that no piece of legislation, like, including, like, the Green New Deal ever, like, addresses is, like, capitalism or colonialism or imperialism. The Red Deal, like, explicitly, like, states those things, saying that the only way to save our planet, the only way to close, like, this class struggle between the top 1% and the 99% is to abolish capitalism. You know, for our people to live, for our earth to live, like, capitalism must die. And we're seeing that now with a lot of, like, the things happening in our world. And so the Red Deal does address this. Again, like, what is always missed is, like, with this Green New Deal policy, like, that if you address these things, that these, like, somehow, like, the world will be fixed or everyone will, like, live these happy lives. But you can't really talk about those things. You can't really, like, fantasize about these, like, utopias while the rest of the world burns, while Indigenous peoples are dying, while Indigenous women and children are going missing. And especially when you're talking about, like, just transition, when you're talking about going to, like, a new green economy or, like, a renewable energy system, no one ever talks about, okay, like, whose land are you going to do that on? Which communities are you going to? You're not building these things, like, in the middle of, like, large cities. You're going into Indigenous communities. And we'll be addressing this at our second Red Deal gathering, which will be in Farmington on Saturday, September 28th. But around Farmington, around the greater Chaco region, fracking is a huge thing. And in Farmington, this came out of, like, the Sovereign Bodies Institute, which is a nonprofit that focuses on missing and murdered Indigenous women. And it's run by an Indigenous woman. And she goes around and does, like, these studies because there hasn't been, like, reliable studies on MMIW, or when you're looking into, like, police cases about MMIW, a lot of the information is lacking. And so that's what Sovereign Bodies Institute focuses on. In their research, they found that Farmington is, like, in the top 10 cities where law enforcement fails to categorize or input MMIW. So all these things in Farmington regarding, like, fracking, regarding MMIW, regarding border town violence, this Red Deal document is going to be, like, huge. These are the voices. These are the communities that the Red Deal is looking at. The things that the Green New Deal kind of glosses over. And when we're going into, like, this new push, like, this new wave of climate justice, you can't leave Indigenous people out of this no more. We have to be the leaders. It's either going to be, like, now or never, because the world's burning. So that's what the Red Deal addresses that the Green New Deal doesn't. But it's not, I know I'm making it, like, sound contentious, but it's really, like, when you're talking about the Green New Deal, and when people are, like, actually engaging, like, in these conversations, these huge conversations, these radical conversations, the Red Deal is, like, asking people to, like, think further than that, to improve your thinking, to think bigger, because, you know, the science says that we only have till 2030 to really change things. And if we don't, then, you know, that's the clock's ticking.
And I read that within the document that it's not meant to be a counter to the Green New Deal, but rather, like you say, that step forward or further. Can you explain about some of the principles within the Red Deal?
We have three main areas of struggle within the Red Deal, and it centers around ending the occupation, which is a call to divest from police and military institutions, healing our bodies, which is reinvesting in institutions and services around, like, mental health, well-being, and clean air and clean water. And then we have Heal Our Planet, which will be creating jobs and reinvesting in, like, clean and renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, land, water, and animal restoration, and protecting our sacred sites. But the big thing, too, is, like, freeing, you know, the earth from capitalism. That's, like, the hugest, like, the biggest thing.
How do you characterize the connection between capitalism and climate change?
Capitalism, it's a structure that, you know, relies on consuming. And Karl Marx, like, defines this as, like, it's like a machine, or it's like this, like, monster that has to keep on consuming to live. But once there's nothing to consume, it, you know, self-destructs. It has nothing else to eat, so it eats itself. And in turn of that, like, once capitalism takes everything from the world, then there's nothing left. Everything dies. The earth dies. The people die. The animals die. And we're already starting to see, like, that come into effect.
What are some of the other liberation movements that helped shape the Red Deal and its principles?
Well, when we were drafting this document for the first time, I mean, like, we were having, like, these meetings, these readings, it was actually Nick that brought this up, was saying, like, okay, so as we're crafting this Red Deal, I want to take strategies from the Movement for Black Lives platform. And that's just a divestment and reinvestment strategy. And the Movement for Black Lives platform calls for, like, the abolition of prisons. And instead of, like, funneling, like, all this money into prisons, reinvest into, like, health and education and into, like, you know, grassroots projects and movements. So the Movement for Black Lives platform was like a huge part of crafting this Red Deal, because we took that and then we also added like some of the things that we wanted, which were no more like pipelines, no more drilling, no more infrastructure on our land without like our consent. The Standing Rock movement was a huge one. I think that was like the most like grandiose or like blatant like attack like on Indigenous people and their land, and showing like how, you know, this imperialist project, this settler project is still ongoing. We saw, you know, Indigenous peoples wanting to protect their land, to protect their water from this pipeline. And we saw the U.S. and the state actively trying to defend that, like, violently. They sent cops, they sent National Guard, they sent tanks, and they attacked Indigenous peoples right in front of the world's eyes. And so from that movement, and also like recent movements, Mauna Kea, what's happening in Brazil, in Venezuela, in Palestine, all these movements, like, they are interconnected. You know, these are our Indigenous brothers and sisters. And from them, like, it's easy to, like, make those connections. It's easy to see, like, okay, like, in Palestine, the U.S. funds Israel. And in turn, like, their enemy, their settler is the same as our settler here in the United States for Indigenous people. And you're seeing that in Hawaii with Hawaiians trying to defend their sacred site, Mauna Kea, against the state of Hawaii. And so when you see these things, you see like, okay, like why are they doing this for our resources? Why do they need our resources to keep this settler project, to keep like this entity alive? And it's just like, we can't have that no more. Like, what is this state like funding itself into? It's the military, it's the state, it's these prisons. And so all we're saying is like, you can't forget these people anymore. You can't invest into these things that are killing the world. And for us to defend that, it's not just like an Indian problem, or it's like not just like an Indigenous people's problem. It's everyone's problem. We're trying to abolish borders. We're trying to divest from the military. We're trying to stop these extractivist industries. We're trying to stop these pipelines. We're trying to stop these land grabs. And it's not just for us. It's for our non-human relatives, and it's for the rest of the world.
Where have we seen examples of similar, previous example of the Red Deal or something similar to it that has been a success?
In my short time of organizing, which has been since like 2014, I've been a part of, specifically like within the Red Nation, I've been a part of like three significant like campaigns that have been successful. One of them is abolishing UNM's presidential seal, getting rid of Columbus Day and establishing Indigenous Peoples Day, and abolishing Santa Fe's Entrada. And so with all these things, it hasn't just been like, you know, going and like protesting. It hasn't just been talking to higher powers. It hasn't just been like live streaming or doing these interviews. What it has been is building people power. And that's exactly like what the Red Deal is. And I feel like that is exactly like what all these, not just these movements that I mentioned, but movements around the world that have been like successful, has been building this people power. And that's the heart of the Red Deal. It's not us like crafting this and like trying to present it to like Deb Haaland or Bernie Sanders or whichever president's in power, even like our council delegates. It's talking with everyday people. It's talking with people that are most affected, that feel these effects every single day. And that's how we've been successful in the past, is talking, you know, with the abolishing the UNM presidential seal. It's been talking with current students, and it's been talking with alumni that have actually tried to abolish the UNM seal in the past. And so getting all that movement, building up that power, and, you know, these board of regents or like whatever level of higher power, and saying like, hey, like we have these people. We have the support, and what are you going to do? Because we're right here in your face. And if you tell us no, then, you know, that's on you. But, you know, we're all here now. And to this day, like, that's how we've created the most change. And I feel like this Red Deal is exactly that again. So I just feel like we are going to win, that this Red Deal document is going to change, like, the narrative. It's going to change the way we view things.
Yeah, people power, I notice, is really key and foundational to the document itself. What are some of the principles in the Red Deal that come from your own family or cultural experiences?
So the Red Deal, when you have read it, like taken this out of it, but it is like a socialist document. And just recently, the Red Nation adopted its stance on socialism and said, like, we are like a socialist group. And the way like I understand socialism is like, it's just like the way my people and other Indigenous peoples have been living. That's how we know how to live. So just like within my family, I grew up not a lot around ceremonies, but I participated in a few of them. But Also, I participated in other people's ceremonies. And what I've found is that no one sits around. No one doesn't do nothing. Everyone has a role. Everyone comes together to make that ceremony possible. Whether it's cooking, whether it's cleaning, whether it's tending the fire, whether it's building whatever structures need to be built, hauling wood, hauling water, gathering medicines, whatever it is, everyone has a role. Everyone's important and everyone is fed. And everyone makes sure that everyone's okay. And at that core level, that's what the Red Deal is. It's making sure that everyone's okay. Everyone's taken care for. Everyone has a role. And everyone feels important.
And within, like, the example of ceremony, the accountability is among everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be that person who's just sitting there.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Where can people go to find out more information and read this for themselves?
You can go to our website, theRedNation.org, or you can check out our Facebook page, The Red Nation, and also Instagram and our Twitter. Our Instagram, I think, is The Red Nation Movement, and our Twitter is @the_red_nation.
And can people get involved? How can folks give back or get involved with The Red Nation?
So if you want to get involved in The Red Deal, for sure, like, reach out to us on any of, like, our social medias, through our website, and just try to connect. Right now, like, I'm working with even people, like, in Vancouver, the Alliance Against Displacement, and they want to get involved in the Red Deal. We're working with people from Louisiana. So, like, we're gathering, you know, people's support and asking them, like, you know, how can we support each other? Like, you're interested in the Red Deal, cool, but, like, we also want to help you too. And like, how can your work and our work like benefit each other? So for sure, like, reach out, we'll work something out. But we also, when we debut this on November 4th, we do want to go out and visit communities. We do want to go out and talk with the communities that are at the front lines at all these issues that we address.
Are there any events coming up that people should be aware of?
Yeah. So on October 14th at 5:30, downtown Albuquerque, we'll be having Indigenous Peoples Day. It'll be on 1st and Central, right by the Century Rio Downtown Theater. And we're partnered with Close the Camps, which is a campaign centered around shutting down these migrant detention facilities. And so that's what we're focusing our Indigenous Peoples Day on. But even like that work is centered within the Red Deal also.
Demetrius, is there anything else that you would like to add?
I just want to say, like, especially like with the climate justice movement, that the youth, like, I'm really proud of y'all. Like, I didn't get into this work until like I was 21, and you guys are way, way ahead of me. Even the youth that started the Standing Rock movement, I just see like youth coming up, and I don't know, I just feel blessed to like be here with y'all. And I just want to just know, like, the Red Nation supports the youth. I support y'all, and just see y'all at the front lines, I guess.
Well, Demetrius, thank you so much for taking the time to come and explain about this really incredible work and this movement document that you all have produced. It's mm-hmm. beautiful. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Halakwa. For Generation Justice, I am Kateri Zuni.
Thank you, Demetrius, for working for a better world. A world where people can breathe clean air, drink clean water, and find liberation.
Demetrius, thank you so much for your work. And thank you to Kateri Zuni for the great interview.
Next up is a song chosen by Red Nation, Dead Horse, by a local band, Weed Rat. The band hopes to address social and environmental topics through their music. Enjoy.
Warehouse 508 is a local venue for creativity, possibility lab, and safe structure environment where young people explore the world through the arts.
Jorge Cortez has been a Warehouse 508 member for 3 years and is a proud member of the band Manic 13. Mina Mays, also 18, is a proud member of the Warehouse 508 Youth Creative Crew, and she plays guitar for Manic 13.
Nightmare is a 16-year-old rapper and the co-founder of the hip-hop group GNM. At the age of 14, he began to learn the art of rapping at Warehouse 508.
DJ Gravity is 18 and has been a proud member of Warehouse 508 since the age of 14. Now, he's a valued intern. Gravity is also a member of the group GNM.
Now, my co-host Barbara Ramirez speaks with Jorge Cortez, Mina Mays, Nightmare, and Gravity of Warehouse 508.
This is Barbara Ramirez with Generation Justice, and I'm speaking with Jorge Cortez, Mina Mays, Gravity, and Nightmare from Warehouse 508. Welcome to Generation Justice.
Thank you.
Yeah. Please share with us more about yourselves, starting with you, Gravity.
Hi, I'm Gravity. I am a youth turned employee at Warehouse 508. I am now an employee. What my job title is I am a sound engineer. I run the studio in the back of Warehouse, recording artists and making music for our promotions. And I also teach sound and do sound for shows that we have at Warehouse. Yeah, I do a lot of things with Warehouse, and I'm hoping to do more things in the future.
My name is Nightmare. I'm a 16-year-old b-boy born and raised in New Mexico. I've been going to 508 for about 5 years, going on six. I first went there for some of their breaking classes, and the staff at 508 is just awesome. Everyone is so inviting and so helpful. With the help of my dude Gravity right here, I'm one third of our crew called GNM.
Yeah.
We make music, me and the other person dance while Gravity raps, and we just started rapping. Last September, we came out with our first album, and I also host events called United in Hip Hop, and what that is it's a completely kids-ran event, so it's DJed by kids, MC'd by kids, judged by kids, and then all the competitors are kids. So I really like to focus on the kids because I don't feel like they get enough shine as they're due. Yeah, so all that's done at Warehouse 508.
I'm Mina. I've been going to Warehouse for about 3 years now, and I started by just taking the 508 Records class and photography, and then I became an intern, and now I am hired as their communications assistant / content creator. So I do a lot of filming and photography for Warehouse 508, and I like to just create a lot of like short videos that we can use to promote what we do, and I'm also half of Manic 13.
Hi, I'm Jorge Cortez. Like Mina said, I'm the other half of Manic 13. Been going to the Warehouse about the same time, around 3 years. It's really great, really opened up a lot of doors for me. Super grateful for them.
Tell us about Warehouse 508 and the work it does in the community.
Yeah, so Gravity speaking, and I'm here to tell you that Warehouse 508 is a youth venue where you can go. You can learn really cool skills like DJing, music production, screen printing, and photography, muraling, like doing murals. And not only that, you can also, like, as a youth, set up a show, and it's just a venue that gives youth opportunities to do whatever their passion may be.
This is Nightmare, and I really think what Warehouse 508 brings to the community is just a place for people to be able to go and do what they love or whatever. I feel like everyone in this world has a artistry to them, no matter what it is. So it's really awesome for 508 to be this venue, because I feel like a lot of people don't have an outlet to show their artistry or whatever. But 508 really, really brings that to this community. You know, they have so many diverse classes that you can go to and take.
Yeah. So a couple of great things about the Warehouse, I think, is the opportunity to really explore your city. Through it, our band has been able to play at different venues, different shows for so many different events, and we wouldn't have gotten that opportunity without it, especially since we're kids. Warehouse really sticks out for us and really shows, like, especially youth who are a little bit lost, that compassion and that, like, space they need to thrive.
Yeah, and like Nightmare said, like, this place is just a really, like, safe place for everyone, and it's so welcoming, and that's what I really love about it. And it's just so cool getting to, like, really grow in your community and, like, learn about so many different other people in your community that are also doing really cool things. So
how was Warehouse 508 founded?
Well, in the, I think, like, early mid-2000s, there was a young woman who was raped and murdered at the Sunshine Theater. And for many locals, you might know that the Sunshine Theater is a pretty famous spot, especially for youth. And so when this happened, it really shook the community. And for a lot of young people, especially young girls, it really, you know, was scary. And for young people, there wasn't really, like, safe places to be at anymore. So the city and community members came together and decided to create a space that could be that safe space for young people. So yeah, I think it's really cool that like something so beautiful was able to come out of something really horrible. And I think it's really honorable in a way that we're doing what we do out of that.
Thank you for sharing that, Mina. That's really important part of the story. I just want to say thank you for the work that you're doing with Warehouse 508. Your guys are doing amazing, and I'm really excited that we're doing this interview today. Tell us about your journey in Warehouse 508, starting with you, Mina.
Well, I first heard about Warehouse 508 when I was a sophomore, I think, in high school. They had a flyer up for the classes that they were about to have. And my teacher knew that I was really into music, and she saw that they had the 508 Records class. And she told me that I should go check that place out. And I was super shy, and I was like, no, I can't go alone. So I made Jorge come with me. but as soon as I went there, I just like fell in love with it. And I just like would go all the time.
A funny thing about that is that I actually did not like going to Warehouse at all for the first, I'm not sure, like month or two. Yeah, but Mina made me stick with it basically. And I think for me, it's really been more about the connections and the people that I've met than the space itself. And that's just like incredibly valuable to, you know, someone who's growing up and really trying to like find their path.
This is Nightmare, and I found 508 when I was like 10 with the help of my parents because we were new to Albuquerque and new to the scene of Albuquerque. And I think just kind of through trickling down of everyone that we talked to, they're like, oh yeah, 508 has open practices. You know, they have classes that you can go to. So when we went for the first semester of classes, like immediately I was like, yep, this is where I want to be. This is it. And their open practices were every Thursday and still are, but it was awesome because I had a place to be and I had a place that was safe to dance and do all that. And my journey through 508 has really been quite crazy now that I think about it. Now that, you know, you're asking all these questions, you know, I wouldn't have met Gravity if it wasn't for 508. I met him at one of his shows that he was doing at 508 because he asked me to come and dance for him. And by chance, our third member, Microwave, was there that night. And we asked him to perform with us, and he was like, okay, cool. Last August, we got to do like a little tour of Albuquerque, of all the community centers and schools. And we got to do a bunch of after-school programs and perform for them and teach them. And it was really amazing to see like how much they were like needing that, you know, like they were so hungry for us to come and teach them or perform. And
I bet you do. I know I do. I'll be going somewhere and like I'll see like a little kid from one of the rec centers.
Yeah.
To my rec center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just got that.
Nightmare. Yeah.
No, I just got that like a month ago. I was at like Walmart and they were like, oh, you performed at Warehouse 508. And I was like, yeah, wow, that's crazy.
So here's the story.
Buckle up.
So the way I first heard about Warehouse was in eighth grade. At that time, I was kind of like writing a little bit because I rap. And then I was working in the office at my middle school, which is Washington Middle School. And then I ended up seeing the flyer for Warehouse, and I saw that they had a class called Hip Hop 101, and that was taught by Miss Threat back in, I think, 2014. But it was a long time ago. So I saw that flyer, and I was like, Mom, please, I want to do this. Like, this seems really cool. So I wanted to try it. I just didn't have the money. So Warehouse has a scholarship program. And the way it works is you write a letter explaining why you need the scholarship, and then you go to meetings and make up hours or help out at Warehouse to make up your hours to pay off your class. So that's how I started. And because I did those scholarships, it got me more involved in Warehouse. And I've been involved since the summer before my freshman year of high school. So now I'm an employee. And yeah, it's been a journey and it's gone very far. I've met some really great friends like Manic 13 over there, Nightmare, Microwave, GNM, Birdo, all the staff at Warehouse who have always been there for the youth that go through that door. So it's been a pretty nice journey.
You're all musical performers. In what ways has Warehouse 508 helped you to develop your musical careers?
I have always been very musical. And in high school, I was in like a music class. That's how I met Jorge. And we had a band together. But I felt like I wasn't like really like doing what I wanted to do with that. And once I started going to 508, you know, I started to practice more and I saw all of these amazing opportunities that I could get. I could perform all over the community. I had people like Gravity where I could be recorded by him. And I think that was just like a huge thing for me, and that really, really pushed me, and it's paid off a lot. Like, I've gotten so many awesome experiences, so.
Yeah, 508 has definitely helped tremendously with my music. I guess I've always been musical. I found videos of me as like a little kid trying to rap or playing my little guitar or whatever. Or I played piano when I was younger. So I guess I've always been musical, but I never really thought about actually doing it, like for real. I always just thought it was like something fun or whatever. But, you know, 508 really helped cultivate that in me along with Gravity and Micah. But, you know, the studio space is super, super helpful because I don't know where else we would record. We recorded one song in Gravity's garage, but the heat got to the computer and destroyed the song. So, you know,
My hard drive died because it was way too hot.
It was way too hot and the computer just crashed.
And we lost all my files and, yeah, it was a mess.
Yeah, so I don't know what we'd be doing without, you know, the studio space at Warehouse 508.
Right. So before Mina and I joined Warehouse as like official members of like YCC, which is the youth governing board at Warehouse. It basically runs the entire Warehouse and it's all youth based. I was a guitar player and I played a lot of classical mariachi and just like rock and stuff like that. Mina and I realized that we're going to need a drummer for the band because there wasn't any like consistent members at our high school. And so I took up the drums, and having Warehouse really helped me have a space to practice as a drummer. Obviously, you have drum pads, but it doesn't compare to, you know, having the feel of a drum set and having just a space where not only can I practice, but I can meet other musicians, interact with like-minded people. It was just huge for me, and I really kind of exploded like these past 2 years practicing with Mina. Yeah, it's been amazing and super grateful.
So the way Warehouse has helped is it's always given me that space that I can go and practice, because when I was younger and when I was first starting out, I didn't have any equipment. I was poor and I'm like, I didn't have any way that I could possibly, I mean, I could probably illegally download software and stuff, but that's not good. But yeah, so Warehouse is a venue that had that place that I could go there, practice my skill and really get good at my craft just through time. And it's nice that we can provide that for youth, because not everyone can afford a $500 beat machine just so that they can make beats on the side and just so that they can start learning. So at least at Warehouse, we have all the equipment so you can learn for a lot cheaper than you would.
Yeah.
So that you can record yourself someday and not have to pay no producer $1 million. And yeah.
Tell us about the 10-year anniversary Fantastic Benefit Show.
What the 10-year anniversary show is it's been 10 years that Warehouse has been open. So we got to celebrate. Dang. 10 years, a decade, it's something to celebrate. So we are going to have a fundraiser / benefit show. So what we're trying to do is raise money for a van. So what we're trying to work on in a little bit is a satellite programming service to where we provide after-school programming for schools, because we know how it is. Kids are at school all day, then they go home, or sometimes their parents are working till 5, so they don't have anything to do from those hours. So at least if they're going to a place where they can go learn a new skill or something like that, that's a good substitute right there. So we're trying to raise money for a van so that we can transport those students around town and from their school to our venue and expand further so that more youth can experience Warehouse.
Would you like to add anything else?
Well, we're going to have, like Gravity said, a lot of really awesome bands playing. So a lot of local bands like Reviva, Break His Soul, Soledad Noche, and some other bands will be there. G&M will be there. So yeah, it's going to be a really, really fun, exciting show. And anyone that's, you know, ever been a part of Warehouse 508 at all should definitely come. Everyone's welcome. And we're just really excited about it.
If you're an alumni, you got to be there.
It's a must.
It's a must. 10 years, you gotta be there.
What other activities are planned for this show?
So we are also going to have a raffle where we are gonna raffle off high budget items that we get from sponsors.
Yeah, I think this event also provides like a good opportunity for families to come check us out. Even if you're not interested necessarily in music or the raffle, definitely come through and see what Warehouse is about. See the people that interact with it and see if whether your child or you or anyone can get something out of us, you know? That's what we're here for. We're here to help the community, help the kids, and make them have a space that they like. And I think this show is going to be perfect for showcasing not just the people that go there, but who we're involved with and how we do things in the community.
Where can people go to find more information about this event and Warehouse 508?
Well, you can go to our social media to find ticket information.
Yeah, you can find us at Instagram at 508 by NMX. And Facebook, you just look up Warehouse 508. And it spells out 508.
How can people support Warehouse 508?
Buy tickets to the benefit show. So, yeah, buy tickets to the benefit show is a good way to support. And we're always open for donations. So if you want to just go up into Warehouse and write a check and say it's donated to Warehouse, we're happy with that. And
also just come through and be a support. Part of it. Yeah, be a part of the awesomeness of 508.
We're going to be creating a GoFundMe soon, also for the van. So check out our social media just so you're on the lookout for that. And that's definitely like a huge help for sure.
Thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Even before or after the show, come check out the Warehouse. It's going to be absolutely worth it if you do. There's an amazing group of people there right now that are doing the best, not only for the youth, but for Albuquerque in general. Yeah, and it's been an amazing experience being a part of this, and I can't wait to see where else this goes.
We're always there to give tours. We love to do that. And it's cool, like, having the youth do that. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, just come through. I can only speak on behalf of G&M and for Manic 13 that both of our shows are really cool. You know, we have dancing, we have music. They're awesome. Manic 13 is like the best. So make sure just to come through and support and have fun.
Warehouse is always open for anyone. We're just there to make sure people can express themselves and have fun. So yeah, come through. Gravity will most likely be there. So make sure you say what's up. And yeah, make sure you say what's up to Manic 13, Roberto Reyes, Freddy Lopez, Mercedes Holtree. Oh, yeah, she's not in here. And yeah, just show some love. Thank y'all.
Thank you very much, Gravity, Nightmare, Mina Maze, and Jorge for being here with us and for the work that you're doing for our community. As I said, you guys are doing amazing, and I'm very proud to interview you, and it was a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For Generation Justice, I'm Barbara Ramirez. Thank you very much again, Jorge, Mina, Nightmare, and Gravity.
Thanks for sharing your stories, and happy 10-year anniversary to the Warehouse 508 family.
Next up, we're listening to Yo by Gravity and Nightmare's band. Both artists learned to rap at Warehouse 508, and they formed their group, GNM, followed by To Fall in Love by Manic 13. Members Jorge and Mina both attend Warehouse 508's youth creative crew and have so much to bring to our local music.
Yo. What's up? Yeah. I'm here with my homies. And you're about to witness some greatness right now. We got Gravity, Nightmare, Microwave, and we are GNM. All right. Check it out. Third eye open, looking for a sign. Here to elevate your mind. Yo, how a weight is fine. I'm elegant and nice, yet I had to pay the price. The alligator type, get the cards and play it right. With the bars, I lay them tight, and yo, they hate that. Sitting and plotting for the payback. I just display rap, so lay back like train tracks. And there ain't no way that you can fake that. Yo, I'm back with them little riddles, playing these cats like fiddles. So I let it go and settle in. I'm running off adrenaline, no sentiments are said again. Dope words from this little Mexican. Yo, nothing but some pencil lead that's coming from my head. Jumped out of bed, yo, let's go and get this bread. So listen to the words I've said, yo. Cause right now GNM is back from the dead.
Oh baby, ride with me, baby. Let me hear you one time. If you are feeling fine,
let's go.
And we can take some time to elevate your mind. Yo,
don't think of yourself higher than you are.
No.
Cause when the sheep go away, you'll fall. There's only one who lives above the clouds.
High.
Never stop yourself, no matter your doubts.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes at night I sit back and think. Your life can go by with one quick blink.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you'll get the fame, but when you're all alone, you'll be to blame. Running from my past, but it keep catching up. The pain in my past feel like a deep cut. Life is like a lucid dream. Sometimes I feel down like I fade to green.
Yeah.
Looking back how far we have come.
Yeah.
Up all night with the master plan. G&M is back, you know the clan. Been all over the place and we about to set a
trend, let's go.
Baby, ride with me, ride with me, baby. Ride with me, vibe with me, baby. Ride with me, ride with me, baby. Ride with me, vibe with me. Let me hear you one time. If you are feeling fine,
let's go, let's go.
And we can take some time to elevate your mind. Yo, yo.
Microwave up on the mic once again, yo. Coming at you with the G&M flow. Young men to young friends, we're all here again. Kicking back, making beats, it's never gonna end. Round glass is fantastic, feel like I'm John Lennon. People overthink too much, y'all just need to imagine. Imagine all the haters, nothing no more. We be like laters, tryna bring it down, but nah, we ain't letting. Tryna fuck with G&M, come get to steppin'. Or we'll get to steppin', or boy, is you trippin'. Did your mom drop you on your head cause you need a sitting? Listen to my sentence, we about to wreck it, yo. Making records, we a menace, yeah, 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 yeah. So go and call your dentist cause the flow is so sweet. G&M out here finna kill your beats, yeah.
Baby, ride with me, ride with me, baby. Ride with me, vibe with me, baby. Ride with me, ride with me, baby.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Generation Justice. It's time for some quick calendar announcements. What's up first, Barbara?
First, we have the Elliot Trilogy, a series of plays by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Kiara Alegría Giuris.
Nice. When is it and where?
It will be from October 3rd to October 20th at Teatro Paragua Studio Space at 3205A Calle Marie in Santa Fe. For more info, visit ironweedsantafe.com.
Guess what, Barbara?
What?
The Albuquerque Zine Fest 9 is coming up this week.
Where is it going to be?
At the National Hispanic Cultural Center at 701 4th Street on Saturday, October 5th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
A zine is a small printed publication with fewer than about 500 copies of each issue. Zines are handmade, small, and fun to read.
For more information, visit the website abqzf.com or find their Facebook page, abqzinfest9.
That's it for our community calendar. We hope you've enjoyed this hour of community liberation and celebration. We'd like to thank our guests, Demetrius Johnson, Jorge Cortez, Mina Mays, Nightmare, and DJ Gravity.
Tonight's hour of radio was produced by Kate Rizzoni and Roberta Rael, and thank you to our interviewer, Barbara Ramirez, and our music host, Sunny Santhanam. We also want to thank Nicole Beatty for production assistance.
We want to give a big shout out to all of our youth producers. We couldn't do what we do without you. Generation Justice would also like to thank KUNM for bringing the voices of young people to you, KUNM listeners.
Our website is generationjustice.org, where you can check out all of our multimedia work and listen to our podcasts, which are also available on SoundCloud and iTunes.
We are also active on social media. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Generation Justice is funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation with additional funding from the Conalma Health Foundation. And of course, all of you who have contributed to our project by visiting our website and clicking Donate. I'm Barbara Ramirez.
Our opening song is Youth of the Nation by POD, coming up on KUNM's Spoken Word. So stay tuned and join us next Sunday at 7 o'clock. I'm Riazullah Alikozai.
And I'm Sunny Santhanam. Our last couple of songs for tonight are Made to Move, which is Gravity's solo work, and Bound 3 Freestyle, a song by a local aspiring rapper, musician, and friend, Abba Shock.
Buenas noches, Nuevo México.
Ta'ala pa'man, awshpa munek marga.
Have a good night, everyone.
Just churn, that's a nice promotion. A new feeling, keep the channels focused on the new kid that's fly just like Lotus. By now, yeah, you might have noticed Gravity's the one who wrote this, and you know this man. Make the world expand beyond this land. Wait, hold up, damn. Let the bass kick in, make the taste fit in while the funk just spins. Oh, oh, oh. Got a grateful grin, that's how I make these ends. Can't fake no friends. No, 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 no. Yeah. And I'm back with a vengeance. Ain't worried about no sentence. Went to jail for murdering the rhythm. I went to jail for murdering the rhythm.
My hips were made to move. Your hips were made to move. Just trying to get next to you. Just trying to get next to you. My hips were made to move. Your hips were made to move. Just trying to get next to you. Just trying to get next to you.
Just trying to get next to you. Come on, girl, just let me through. Many things that we can do, but I would rather just dance with you. Just get down in the heat of the moment. This right here is our time, come on, own it. You're so fine, you don't even know it.
You're so fine, you don't even know it.
Let the beat just move your feet.
Your love is the sweetest treat. At a point where your love is me, an angel gets his wings. Your hands in my hands, feeling the romance. Makes me wanna dance, yeah. Makes me wanna dance, yeah. My hips were made to move, Your hips were made to move, Just trying to get next to you, Just trying to get next to you. My hips were made to move, Your hips were made to move, Just trying to get next to you, Just trying to get next to you.
On my task, time to move on from that mask. I can break out of that glass ceiling. Mama, tell me what's the feeling when you had nothing to eat, but you were still so willing to cook me up a hot plate. I run on them tracks, hardly clothes on your hangers, but still had clothes on my back. You so picture perfect, mama, smile for me, Kodak. With two kids, two jobs, you still got your masters. Mama, tell me how you did it. You's a master.